Welcome back to Question Medicine, where we are asking medical questions and giving medical answers based on recent medical literature. And today's question is, do beta blockers help post-MI? Do beta blockers help when you've had a heart attack? Your first answer is going to be, yes, of course they do. But there's new research out. There's new research hot off the press, baby. It's so hot I couldn't even touch the article. I mean, it was just coming straight off the printing press itself. The evidence for beta blockers post-MI came from a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, 4 decades, and a century ago. It came back in the old age when we used to use slugs to suck the blood out of individuals, when we used to use the leeches, when we thought that we had humors and bloodletting was a thing. That's how old the data on beta blockers is. It was not in an era where we had PCI, where we had statins, where we had all this new technology in medicine. And now that we do, now that we have all this stuff, the question is, do beta blockers help post-MI? You ponder that question, and I'll be back in 15 seconds. Andrew Bilt, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Let's do this thing, shall we? Beta blockers, do they help post-MI? Do beta blockers help after you've had a heart attack? As I said in the intro, the data on beta blockers is about as old as my grandma. And let me tell you, my grandma shouldn't even buy green bananas anymore, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, she is old. But we now have an article out in the New England Journal of Medicine titled Beta Blockers After Myocardial Infarction and Preserved Ejection Fraction. It is fresh off the press, April 7th, 2024. Beta blockers have been a cornerstone of therapy post-MI for as long as anyone can remember. Anyone that's listening to this, as long as you can remember, beta blockers have been a cornerstone post-MI. That is something you got to give. It's on every board question. It's on every question. It's on everything you could ever believe in your entire life. It's on every guideline. It's a standard of care, if you will. However, this evidence is old. It is not in the time in the era where we had antiplatelet medications. It's not in a time or era where we had widespread percutaneous coronary intervention. So the authors use a registry randomized control trial, mainly all from Sweden. So basically they have a registry and then they randomize patients inside the registry, which is absolutely brilliant. They don't have to spend all the billions and trillions of dollars that normally drug companies would have to spend in order to do the same kind of trial in America, where you actually have to randomize people, because you just use the registry to randomize people by themselves. I mean, it's fantastic. And I wish that we did this here in America, because this makes research so much easier. They took just over 5,000 patients and then randomized them post-MI to beta blocker or no beta blocker. The other key caveat here, or inclusion criteria, was you had to have an ejection fraction at least 50%, or a normal ejection fraction. So you had a heart attack, a normal ejection fraction, and then you either got a beta blocker or no beta blocker. One of the things I do like about this trial, and one of the things that I think hopefully people won't argue about, is that when you look at the population that was enrolled in this trial, on discharge after their heart attack, 97% were on aspirin, 96% were on Plavix or some sort of P2Y12 inhibitor blocker, and 98% were on a statin. That is the standard of care. If you're going to be discharged from the hospital after a heart attack, you're going to be on some sort of aspirin, some sort of clopidogrel or Plavix, and then some sort of statin, and then typically a beta blocker. But do you actually need the beta blocker? This is the one variable, and this is the one thing I think the authors did a fantastic job with. The primary composite endpoint here was all-cause death or recurrent heart attack. All-cause death or a recurrent acute myocardial infarction. And it did not differ. It did not differ after 3.5 years of follow-up. There was no difference between all-cause death or an acute myocardial infarction between all comers, whether you got a beta blocker or did not get a beta blocker. The actual numbers here were 7.9% versus 8.3%. There was a host of other secondary endpoints, such as all-cause death, cardiovascular death, a new myocardial infarction, hospitalization for atrial fibrillation, or heart failure, as well as safety outcomes, and none of them varied. None of them were significantly different. This is a game changer, I do believe. Yes, the confidence intervals were pretty wide, but there was a low overall event rate, and the editorialist says, well, because there was such a low overall event rate, we can't really say that there, you know, this didn't exist. Yeah, there's probably overall a low event rate because we now have new standards where everyone's getting a statin, everyone's getting aspirin and Plavix. I mean, maybe those medications are making it so the beta blocker doesn't really need to be included anymore. This is a game changer for me. This is overall fantastic. If you believe that beta blockers are beneficial post-MI, it is now on you to run a trial, to run a study, to do something that proves that it's beneficial, or it proves it's beneficial in a certain patient population. The only key here was that you had to have a normal ejection fraction. If you did not have a normal ejection fraction, you were not included in the study, and that is a key inclusion or exclusion criteria, depending on how you want to look at it. But overall, I think for me, the takeaway bottom line is... a long-standing standard of care, a long-standing cornerstone of medicine, beta blockers post-MI, has now been disproven. It's been reversed and shown not to be beneficial, not to improve really any of the outcomes that were looked at in individuals who had a heart attack with a preserved ejection fraction, or at least an ejection fraction greater than 50%. If you like this podcast, then please give it a review. But I know, I'm just like you. I don't give every podcast a review. So let's just be honest. If you like the podcast, just share it with a friend so we can all be a little bit better, one question at a time. And with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every single one before it. Wait for the music. Until next time, keep the quest in questioning.